should be fun.
Family don't end with blood.
I regret this already.
Hello! Not an idiot. See ya!
Lilu Dallas Multipass.
Give him the bits!
The bits! The bits!
The things I do for love!
I will never, ever turn my back on people who need me.
Mega! Cartoon cartoons!
Love is thicker than blood. You belong to the people who taught you the world. And my heart is Mexican.
It's a big-ass shitstorm. And there's 13 million people missing. And you could be next.
This episode contained themes of immigration, the Latina experience in America, and racism. Have fun!
Actually, that's very true.
And welcome back, beloved listeners,
to...
Why should I watch that?
We're gonna hurt someone's ears.
A podcast where we tell you about a show or movie or anime or cartoon or whatever that we've recently watched and then tell you if it was worth it or not. So that you don't have to find out after, you know, 6+ hours of devotion.
And I'm Myra.
I'm Sam.
I'm Jay.
Oh, standard. Oh,
I know. He had sugar. He had a lot of sugar.
I also had a really long day.
Yeah.
The comedy's coming later. Tune in.
Yep.
Myra is hyped on sugar and caffeine.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to sleep. Thank God my doctor's on vacation this week.
I don't know if I want to sleep because work is going to suck tomorrow.
Okay.
All right. So this week we watched an oldie, but an oldie.
A Day Without a Mexican.
Oh my God.
If you've never heard of this movie, where have you? Actually, no. You know what? No, I can't even say where have you been.
You were about to say where have you been, and I was like, bitch, I was there. I was present.
Present.
I can't say that because this movie is, oddly enough,
I'm going to say it's cult classic material, but, well.
I don't even say that. It's one of those movies that you didn't know existed, and when you found out, you're like, why didn't I know this existed?
Or...
You ever been on a roller coaster? And then, like, after the roller coaster has run its course, you're like, cool, I can't wait to get off this thing. And then you go by the docking station one more time, and there's, like, a frantic face on the person who's running the roller coaster's, like, expression. And in your head, you go, oh, no. Are we not stopping? And you don't stop. And you keep going. And going. And going. And then by the time you get off, you're like, what the fuck just happened, man? So much went on. We were going so fast by the end. And you kind of get off and you're like shook. But like, it wasn't not fun. It was just like a lot.
Yeah, this...
Welcome to A Day Without a Mexican.
A Day Without a Mexican is unique. Distinct. We can do first impressions.
Oh, yeah, because you've never seen it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll start because I was the one that introduced you guys to this roller coaster of a ride.
Yes.
So this came out when I was... Fuck. I'm about to tell
you. This came out when I was fuck. Came out in 2004.
So I was 14-ish, 13, depending on when it came out.
Oh my God, is that how math works?
How old is an individual in fourth grade?
Yes.
I was in fourth grade when this came out.
I was in middle school.
Fuck, I was in middle school.
Welcome to getting older.
We had just moved to Georgia. I was technically in middle school, too.
Oh. God. So,
we were youngins.
Yeah, I was, just for reference, middle school, Myra, no one wanted to hang out with her because everybody knew her mom was a cop. And every Hispanic in school somehow did drugs. In middle school.
I'm not surprised.
I wish I could say I was surprised, but...
Yeah, I mean, in the area we live, I'm not surprised either, but... So nobody wanted to meet my friend, because, you know, this was early 2000 when it was cool to be, like, I'm doing drugs and trying to show
off.
Don't
do drugs.
Don't do drugs, but, like, that's a thing that is still being peddled to this day.
I mean, yeah. I guess I haven't been in middle school in I'm not saying how long.
What I mean is peer pressure has always and will always be a thing, and the things that that society and parents say you shouldn't do is something that teens especially will always flock to. And middle schoolers are teenagers, technically.
Oh, shit,
They're teenagers with less brain cells.
So, this was the era where Myra discovered movies and books can be a great escape.
Mm-hmm. Escapism.
Yep. I think this is, around the time my dad also discovered Netflix. Netflix became a thing in the 90s.
It was a mail order thing.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll go.
Yep. It was, mail order. It was before Netflix was what Netflix is now. We've been customers for a while.
My mom had Netflix back then, and I did not understand the hype of it. You had to wait so long to watch the movies, and in my mind, it was easier to go to the local library and get the movie. I just wanted to watch 101 Dalmatians. I didn't have a lot of rights back then.
My dad liked the idea of keeping the movie as long as you like, because we always forgot to return the frickin' movies to Blockbuster. Because that was a thing, still. Yep. This movie, I don't even know how we found it, but we found it.
Mm-hmm.
And...
those are the best ones.
We watched it. I think my dad got it because it said it's a day without a Mexican. Literally. And, the title says it all. What would happen to the U.S. if you did not have Hispanics?
Specifically California.
Specifically California. But, you know, you can literally apply this to pretty much mm-hmm. everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the major... L.A. is obviously more highly dense populated with Hispanics than New York or Atlanta would be, because Atlanta has a higher black community. LA has a higher... Okay. No, sorry. What? And, but I understand why they did it with California, because it's also, you know, so close, especially LA, it's so close to the border, you can literally see the fence and look into Tijuana, so. Tijuana. Let me say that right before somebody comes at me.
You're not a real Mexican.
Bring it! I am! I went to school in Mexico, bitches. But yeah, so it was interesting to see it as a 13, 14-year-old, because the concept of not being here is mm-hmm. weird.
That's fair.
Yep.
I was just gonna say, as someone who grew up in New Jersey, the Hispanic population up there is basically, like, half the population. So, like...
I've never been to up north.
Which is fair. You know, you're talking of your own experience. But...
And I was gonna say, on a completely opposite note, I think you have complete rights in saying that, especially in saying that it, like, could definitely expand, like, more. Because in Florida, at least in the 90s when I lived there, I know times change. I don't know the census right now. But back then, I think the majority of our immigrants were Haitian. And a very similar vibe could have been made for them.
Yeah.
Like, it could not have been called A Day Without a Mexican. But it totally could have been the exact same movie, A Day Without a Haitian, in the exact same context.
Right.
Nothing would work. Nothing would happen, you know?
Yeah. I think every city in this, at least in this country, has that thing where they're like, it's, obviously in the movie, it's not just Mexicans that disappear, it's all Hispanics.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
All Latinos disappear. So it's, interesting fact. Next.
Yeah, this is the wrong one. May I go next?
Sure.
Okay, so going into this movie, I had negative context. Not to say that Myra didn't prep us, but I didn't know. I knew that what I was heading into was going to have some laughs. I knew that it was potentially talking on some subjects, but that was about it. I had like I had the base that you would need to like hook someone into being like, okay, tell me more, and then it was you just gotta watch it, which is fair, because had I known any more, it would have destroyed the entire first watch through. I sigh like that not because it was bad, but because literally now, days after watching it, I'm still kind of processing what the fuck I went through in that hour and change movie. It so much happened. I am going to save my makeup complaints for later in the film because I remain angry. However, comma, aside from that, the plot was very well thought out. It had a lot of really good statistics sprinkled throughout it. I love when people are like, hey, let me entertain you and then also teach you something. It gives me Magic School Bus vibes in the best way. Like, yeah, tell me about some shit I didn't know about. Give me some statistics I wasn't aware of. Or tell me stuff that I was and kind of forgot about over time. Do that shit. Get them neurons firing. I really loved... For the time, appreciated where, how, and when they sprinkled those facts through. I think had they did a remake nowadays, they could have sprinkled them in better. But taking this for what it is, a low-budget, non-blockbuster. A non-blockbuster. They did a very good job for what they were given as far as the filmography and scripting. Mm-hmm. We will talk about makeup soon. But no, aside from that, I really love the concept. And not to get too far into the spoilers, but they also do this cool thing. I'm sorry, I'm almost done.
You're good.
They do this really cool thing at the end where one of the characters kind of goes through this process of like, look, I might not have the correct blood in me to identify as Hispanic, but I was raised that way, I was born there, and my entire life I was raised to think that I was this. And it kind of, it really shows how you can kind of take control of your own heritage to a degree. Mm-hmm. Just because your blood may not match a specific society or specific region does not mean you cannot be from there in your heart. Mm-hmm. You can, and that's not to say that all them weeaboos and, like, what are they called? The English versions and y'all who appropriate cultures do not have rights here. But if you have a multicultural experience, you do get this really cool choice in being able to choose which culture you want to identify with. Mm-hmm. And I think it was a really cool representation, the way that they played that out at the end. And, yeah. It was interesting. I had a lot of really cool ideas for something that is from, like, 20 years ago?
Almost.
Yeah.
So Myra may have prepped us, but I totally forgot. And so I was like, all right, A Day Without a Mexican is probably going to be some variety of comedy. I was correct.
It was some variety.
What a wild ride. Yeah. I tried to take notes. I have no notes for this. Just for context, I tried to take notes. And I was like, no, I just need a minute to, like, process what's going on.
We started the movie. She had her little notepad out. She and, like, 20 ready. Minutes in, I looked back over, and she was just kind of clutching it to her chest. Like, I don't know what to do with this now, but I still have it.
I just didn't. It was all over the place in the best of ways. I really enjoyed the process of watching it. It was, I love a good political satire. And I think, well, political commentary satire? Too many words. But, oh my gosh. It was, and such an interesting perspective, and we'll get into this later, of like, probably why this came out and, like, the how it was a reaction to current events at the time. But it was hysterical. Gosh.
Oh, it's right there.
All right. Shall we get into the summary?
We can. All right. So this is actually the first thing that we ever watched on this podcast that we actually had a physical DVD to watch. And in prepping for this, I was super excited. I was going to take a picture of the DVD box to, like, read off the, like, raw and, like, real background. I forgot. So we're going back to IMDb, where we are home to. A Day Without a Mexican, 2004. When a mysterious fog surrounds the boundaries of California, there is a communication breakdown and all the Mexicans disappear, affecting the economy, and the state stops working, missing the Mexican workers and dwellers.
Dwellers?
That's what it says.
Alright.
I'm done. We're making up for lost time from the Static Shock episode. We're done. Jesus. It was so bad. I was editing that fucking episode and I was like, can I please shut up? I'm so sorry.
All right. I did not practice the names this week. It's no name practice. This is
Sam.
What it is.
When have you?
I
know, right?
No, there was a few times. There's at least one.
Some of these are going to be Spanish, so I can help you.
I will be taking a back seat.
So we got directed by Sergio
You gotta make it bigger.
Oh my god. You're blind.
Also, if you're gonna help, you gotta talk into your mic.
But I can't see shit.
I'm trying. Where's the mouse?
On your screen.
Is that big enough for you?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what she said.
Sergio Araujo.
Do you wanna read these?
Sergio Araujo, Isaac.
You gotta say who they are and what you did.
Sorry. Directed by Sergio Araujo. Produced by...
Isaac Arnstein.
No, yep, there you go. Written by Sergio Araujo. Yariel Arismandi. Sergio Herrero. Herrero?
I knew that. How defensive she got.
Starting Yair Yarelli Arismendi. I don't know why I can't say the name. It's very
brain glitch happens.
Arismendi.
Yarelli as Arismendi. That's a female. John Getz. Oh, they didn't put his fucking name. That's fucked up. Oh. Maureen Flanagan. No, one of the guys, the one that died before the movie came out, which I have his name pulled up. Hold up.
Oh, the boyfriend.
Huh? The husband.
Whatever.
His name is Eduardo Palomo. Mm-hmm. He's also in the movie. Well, he's not technically starting.
Starring.
Music by Juan Colomero Molotov. Okay.
Cinematography
by Alan Guadillo. Edited by Daniel Fort and Shaula Vega.
Uncredited.
Okay.
Fuck you guys. Credit her.
Don't you know women don't have a place in cinema?
Credit her.
And then distributed by Alta Vista Films and Televisa Cine, released in May 14th, 2004. Shit.
Mm-hmm.
So I was 13. Running time is what, like an hour and 20 minutes?
It's 100 minutes.
So an hour and 40
minutes. So 60. Minutes.
We're not math gays. What are we trying to do? Just say 100 minutes.
100 minutes. Countries. United States, Mexico, and Spain.
Ooh.
Oh. And it's in both Spanish and English.
So they don't actually have how much it costs to make. but it was number one at the box office its opening weekend in Mexico.
Of course it was.
But it had a much more moderate box office success in the United States, grossing about $4.1
million. That's good. I mean, that's still good for a sort of not known film.
Yeah, I'm just... I wish we knew how much they spent.
There's really not a lot out there about this movie, which... Did they say they made another one, A Day Without Jews? Go back.
It wasn't A Day Without Jews. It was like A City Without Jews.
Oh.
But yes.
I'm sorry.
The answer is yes.
I saw that and I was like, what?
Mm-hmm. It's C also. Oh.
What sort of anti-Semitic...
Well, no. Knowing them, it's probably the same kind of story.
I don't think so, because it's
no,
not...
No, it's in it's, German. Never mind.
No, it's... Never mind.
We don't have to talk about it.
No.
Y'all read it. I didn't.
I saw it, and I thought it was, you know, similar concept,
a
but...
A mockumentary, yeah.
That does not look it like... It does not no, look like nope.
Anyway, so unfortunately, we don't have...
The budget was $1,500,000.
Oh!
Yeah.
So they made money.
And they grossed $4,179, roughly.
Yeah, you gotta think, Mexico don't make that much money, honey.
Yeah. And also, just in general, American audiences do not respond well to foreign films. We do better nowadays, but especially back then, we did not respond well to foreign films.
Do you really think the white people would have responded well to this?
God, no.
God, especially that era. Anyway... shall we go into the fun facts?
Fun facts? Yay. It was actually a bigger production of a faux documentary? Fun documentary?
Mockumentary.
A mockumentary, thank you. Of a short film that was made in the 90s, in 1997 actually. It's like a 28-minute film. That it was made to talk about the political climate and immigration laws that were being placed against really anybody. But, you know, obviously everybody thinks that, I hate to say this, but everybody thinks that the only people that are here illegally are Mexicans. Y'all, giving you a heads up, we ain't the only ones.
Oh, no.
A Canadian can just as easily pass the border and stay here over their visa.
Yep.
It's the same.
The white folks do it, too.
Oh, God, yeah. No, that was not... Yeah.
No, it happens to every culture, every country. There's people leaving their homes and coming here because, honestly, and this is coming from someone who has seen it on the other side, the U.S. is it's a country paved in gold. To any other country that is third world. Every other country sees the U.S., unfortunately, as a country paved in gold. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, everybody wants to come. And it's not as easy as people make it think it is, unfortunately.
Well, yeah, that was one of the immigration tactics that they used post World War One ish, where there was the rumors that New York City streets were literally paved in gold.
There's an old Mexican film that actually literally has a whole 30-minute segment of them just talking about how the U.S. is paved in gold.
Well, I mean, even in American Tale. They talk about how, oh, it's so dirty in New York, like...
Oh, no, people come here, yeah. There's people that come here and they're like, why the fuck did I come here? But then again, you also, this is obviously more of a tidbit from cultural things, but you have to understand that not just in Mexico, but people who come from anywhere where their political climate is not that great.
Unstable political climate.
Unstable political climates. That means their income and mm-hmm. their money is not that stable either. And for instance, if y'all didn't know, 20 pesos to a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
So to buy like a gallon of milk, it's almost 100 pesos. And people get paid like 5 pesos an hour.
Mm-hmm.
You can barely make enough money to buy like an average day person who does not have some sort of education.
Like a nice office job.
Like a nice office job makes anywhere between $500 to $600 pesos a day.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people, the term that we use, especially nowadays, to define those kinds of people who come over here legally to get away from that, a lot of things you'll hear thrown around nowadays, especially in our political climate, is illegal immigrant. But the actual proper term is economic refugee, mm-hmm. because they are not coming here for no reason just to do crime. They are a refugee fleeing a place where they cannot live. And we're supposed to take in refugees. I don't know if you were aware, but we do that.
What? No.
But the thing is, and I think especially with Mexico, mm-hmm. The reason particularly the U.S. has such an issue with it is not just because we're next door.
Mm-hmm.
Is, yeah, unfortunately, Mexico has one of the biggest drug trafficking crime syndicates but just so y'all know, the people bringing the drugs to the U.S. are legal. They have visas.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all, they have visas. They're the ones that poor illegal people are paying to bring them here in such a... I mean, I think the film even does a good way of sort of showing how illegal immigrants come through.
Mm-hmm.
Because you do see when Border Patrol picks up some people, and that's a minimum. That's people that survive. There are sometimes that they put semi-trucks with no ventilation, no air, and they just stuff 100 to 200 people in there to sneak them in.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen where they've actually modified a car seat,
mm-mm.
where they take out the cushions and the springs, sew it so that you can't see the seams, and they put a person mm-hmm. in the seat, and people sit on top of you for a car ride.
Oh my god.
When you're I've never crossed the border illegally, thank god. I was born here, so I'm not illegal.
Mm-hmm.
But I have crossed the border, and it's even legally crossing the border is scary.
Oh, God, yeah, especially nowadays.
Hell, I even crossed the border to Canada, and I guess it was during a more turbulent time between the United States and Canada, because guess what? Those kind of relations fluctuate depending on who's the president.
Yeah.
It was intimidating.
Mm-hmm.
They have full-on military personnel at the border.
Oh, yeah.
Both ways.
Yeah, no. You cross to Mexico. It was scary coming back because you hit the Mexican government's drug patrol. Then you get into no man's land,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, this whole strip of between Nothing. Mexico and the U.S. And you sit there and you wait. Then you cross into the U.S. and then they search everything. I mean, everything. I was actually scared because they had a drug dog. And if you didn't know, drug dogs are not fed when they're in duty. They're on duty. So for 8 hours, this poor dog's sitting there hungry. My dad and I decided to stop at Pollo Loco, crossing the border, because we were hungry. We didn't finish our meal, so we put it in the back seat. Guess what? Drug dog tried to jump into our window.
That must have been...
Oh, isn't
it? You just found Waldo as a drug dog.
Yeah. It was actually very scary at the time because we had to literally...
get out of your car.
Get out of the car. They made us get everything out. They kept asking me. They separated me from my dad because I was technically 18, so they could.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, okay, well, what do you have? Did you do anything to the car? I was like,
I don't know.
I was like, no, we didn't do anything to the car. I was like, yeah, we had an accident and we had to fix the undercarriage of the car because shit happens. But it was the undercarriage, so they check in the undercarriage of the car.
Mm-hmm.
And then they realize it's the fucking chicken. And they're like, oh, you can go. Fuck you.
Oh my god.
Okay. Like, feed your dog. But yes. It's tidbits. We'll go more into detail, though. I have so much information about being a Mexican in the U.S.
I might not have information on that. I do have statistics, though.
Oh, yes.
And just like how the movie told you some stuff.
Drop those little truth bombs.
I'm going to drop some truth bombs, too. I actually found a CNN article that came out a couple of years after the film did. Yeah. A lot of people think that these are coming paraphrased via me. So if I misspeak, excuse me. If I say something weird and you're like, I think twist this into that, you're probably right. All right. So first off, we have a lot of people in America, especially nowadays, that think that illegal immigrants do not pay any kind of taxes.
Mm.
That is actually completely untrue.
Mm.
In order to buy stuff, you pay sales tax. In order to rent things, you pay property tax. And typically, people who are here working illegally have illegally acquired green cards, social security numbers, and driver's license. All faked. Beautiful. Whatever. Do whatever the fuck you want. And they pay payroll tax via those because they were able to sign up properly.
So, on that topic, just because I... Welcome to my culture. So
we actually have a
there are
a local Mexican
a local in the studio.
There are some states
that
are a little more lenient
mm-hmm.
on people getting their driver's license and their car tags and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we also see a lot of, especially here in Georgia, you know how we're always going on about why do we see so many fucking foreign tags or out-of-state tags?
That's why. Yep. Okay, so I have another one for you. I'm sorry, I was reading. The earnings suspense file, which used to be used to track names and social security numbers that don't match government records, grew at an average of $67 billion per year from 2000 to 2007, three times faster than the file once grew in the 1990s. In 2007, $11.2 billion went into the Social Security Trust Fund, and $2.6 billion went into Medicare for a total that year of $13.8 billion generated specifically by undocumented immigrants. Mm. So, just because your little Cheeto said that they're here illegally not paying shit, don't mean they are. Yeah. They're doing their best, and they're trying their hardest to pay correctly here.
Even if they get paid under the table... They, just fun fact, again, if you didn't know, to be able to get your legal papers, even if you're here illegally, let's say you're here illegally and you're filing for any kind of visa after being here 10 years, because there is a law within our government that if you've been here as a good citizen, never had any issues, and paid your taxes for 10 years... you can become a U.S. or a resident.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So if you're here illegally. So by saying that means you have to pay taxes. So there are ways that I'm not sure how they do it because fortunately for me.
I was like, unfortunately, and I went.
No, well, fortunately for me, I've never had to go through that experience.
Mm-hmm.
When my parents actually had to go through that, I was not born yet. So, mm-hmm. I don't...
Do we want to mention that your parents were...
They're both legal.
My grandparents were.
I just...
But it's, my grandpa my was mom, here
illegally for like my 10 mom's years a cop. Before he got his green card.
You have to understand, my mom's a cop. They had to do background check. They knew she was here illegally at one point. To be able to become a cop, you have to disclose your entire history.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, my mom became a U.S. citizen when she was a child. Because of laws in the 80s.
Well, didn't they have, like, one of those big sweeping... Yep.
Yeah, and that was in the 80s.
And it fixed everything.
Citizen grant thingies that we had back when Obama was...
We did not have that.
But Obama did the DACA.
DACA, yeah.
Okay. Obama did DACA. Bush actually did do a sweep after 2004.
And actually,
that's what got him reelected.
That actually leads me into my next fact and my final fact, but it's spicy because it comes from Texas.
Oh, Texas.
Yeah. In December 2006, Texas was the first state to conduct a comprehensive financial analysis on the impact of undocumented immigrants on a state's budget and economy. Former Texas comptroller Carol Strayhorn says, undocumented immigrants produced $1.58 billion in state revenues, which exceeded the $1.16 billion in state services they received. Bottom line, undocumented immigrants in the state of Texas are adding $17.7 billion to our gross state product. We net $428 million at the state level because of the taxes they are paying in.
Yeah.
And that's coming from the reddest state in all of the South.
Well,
the reddest... except for Alabama.
Well, yeah. Alabama doesn't count.
I was like, are we not counting Missouri?
No.
No.
Their name is Misery. I don't count them for anything. They suck.
But, I mean, Texas is one of those states that they know they need Hispanics.
Well, they were, for a long time, they were considered, like, a blue-red state.
Yeah.
Because...
They used to be swing a lot.
Yeah. Well, according to my parents, who were long-time Republicans, the Democratic Party used to be more closely aligned to what the Republican Party is today.
Oh, yeah.
The parties have flipped since.
Yeah. Everyone likes to say, well, Abraham Lincoln was a Republican, and that's because...
Republicans should be Democrats.
Yeah. Basically, they just put on different masks to do the same shit, and it doesn't matter anyway, because they're all fighting for the same thing to begin with.
Yeah.
Right.
But yeah, fun little tidbits. Lastly, as far as like receiving societal help or Medicare help or stuff like that,
government aid,
at least most I'm gonna say all of the ones I know, which is a lot. Y'all know my dad, y'all know. Mm-hmm. It's a lot. All of the ones I know that are here illegally that are receiving kind of government aid, it's for their children that were born here. Right. And they didn't use their children to get a
green card.
They literally came here and didn't expect to have kids. So,
also, oh, I'm sorry.
So all of, and like I said, these are the people that I know use the government aid for their children who have rights to it. And there are a couple that are here that their children are also illegal, but it wasn't the children's decision.
Right. Sorry.
So, I want to put that out there because I think a lot of people think, oh no, they use food stamps. Y'all, my aunt's almost, like, that poor woman, her husband pays child support for two children from his previous marriage. He has two kids. He's a gardener, for crying out loud. So he doesn't make a lot of money. They do not use food stamps. They just use Medicaid for their children's health insurance. And I can't blame them because my cousins are always in the damn hospital. Mm-hmm. So.
Also, can I just say a thing? This is going to be a hot topic.
Spicy.
It's going to have some spice. Get your milk ready. Okay? Why is it okay for impoverished, low-income white families to have exceeding amounts of children because there's nothing to do in your house other than, you know,
bang,
fuck, or, you know, drink beer? But it's not okay when an immigrant family does it. If they are also struggling financially, why is it different when a white family who's poor has a lot of kids because they're bored versus a Hispanic family who has a lot of kids because they're bored? Why do we draw a line?
They look like us.
Oh, I got an experience, but you say your thing.
I was gonna say, yeah, people who, I think the whole, going back to what Myra said, about how people complain about families gathering the government aid for their children, it stems back to the whole protect the fetus, abandon the child mentality that America has.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. But that's a whole other topic. But that was just my two cents.
My story is And I think my story can sort of start the discussion of the movie afterwards.
Ooh. Yeah.
But so,
because I mean,
this is something that I don't think I've ever told you guys about this experience I had. Mm-hmm. I was probably like 17, 18. I was
immediately terrified.
I was 18. I was 18 because I was freshman in college.
Mm. Ooh, 18?
Yeah, you 18, were a smart 19?
Kid. Okay.
No, I was 19.
You weren't a smart kid. I'm teasing.
Shut up. I was a freshman in college.
We're all idiots here.
Yeah. So, my experience, and this is going back to the government aid. So, again, like I told you, my aunt, as unfortunately, her situation is not the best. The only time she's had government aid for herself is when she became pregnant with my second cousin. So, at the time, she only had one child. Which was... Damn. I was actually in line. She had asked me to come with her to the Medicaid office.
Keep going. I'm gonna...
To let her know, because she wasn't sure they were gonna have someone there that spoke Spanish. You know, you never know. You want to make sure you bring someone to translate. She speaks English, but she knows that her English is not the best. So she wanted to make sure they understood what she had asked. So she and I were in line, and this is also a little bit of the mentality that white America has.
Oh God.
Oh, we love them, don't we?
And this is not everybody. And if you're out there listening to us and you're white, this is not everybody. This is very much the South.
Keep talking, and I can tell you if it's the North as well.
Yeah, so I was in line. My cousin was probably like 6 years old. Me and my aunt are having a conversation in Spanish, and there's a mom and her little girl in front of us. This lady, kid you not, what pissed me off the most is she has her little girl. I don't know about you guys, but do you know how much fucking kids' Jordans are?
I know how much regular Jordans are.
Yeah, kids' Jordans are half the price of regular Jordans. Okay.
Why would you get your children designer shoes?
You have to. So she's.
What else are they going to puke on at school?
So she's 3
Target
years old.
Shoes?
Yes.
3 years
Payless
old.
Payless shoes.
The mom. But she had her nails done. She had her hair done. White woman.
Were they the red nails?
Yeah, it was the. And you'll understand why. This has never left me. The little girl was Jordan shoes, Jordan pants, Jordan... Like, she was decked out, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we're sitting in... We're just standing in line. And this 3-year-old turns around to her mother and says, Mom, why are they in line? They shouldn't even be here.
Ooh, she's... Ooh. She's... That's... If she said that, she's parroting it from her parents.
Oh, yeah. Trust me. I never wanted to... Y'all, I do not condone child abuse. I do not agree with child abuse, but I never wanted to deck a 3-year-old so bad.
Listen, we've all fantasized about punting kids across the room.
My aunt was like, Myra. She looked at me. She just knew I wanted to say something. I wanted to say something bad. And then she's like, you know what? She's 3. She doesn't know better. You know... She probably learned it from her dad, because the mom didn't say anything at first. And my cousin just asked, why are we not supposed to be here? He's 6.
Oh, no.
And, you know, we're like, it's fine, honey. It's okay. So then, this is the kicker, guys. This is the kicker. The mom turns to the girl behind her, because they were behind us in line, who just happens to be a black woman with her child. Also there to get insurance for them.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? That you could tell that... You know how some people say that, you know, unfortunately, blacks community has a stereotype of... They just are also doing the same thing Hispanics are doing. They just get help from the government, which is not true. You could definitely tell that this family needed help, and I'm glad they were getting help. But she had... This woman had the nerve. The nerve. To turn around... And tell this woman, who she hadn't said anything to the whole time we were in line.
Minding her own goddamn business.
And goes, can you believe what my daughter just said? Oh my god, isn't she right? What are they doing here? I was livid. Y'all. I was...
What the fuck?
I was, like, this close to going to jail. Because if my aunt hadn't been like, just move, it's our turn in line. But y'all, I tell you not, I kid you not, this lady could not get out so quickly out of that office the instant I got to the counter. And I said, excuse me, sorry, we're here to get my cousin's insurance fixed because there was some issue with his insurance. Said that perfectly, just like I did right now.
Mm.
That woman could not get out of that office quick enough.
Yeah, it's amazing what people will say when they think you can't understand them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, unfortunately...
Yeah. So, y'all, racism is real.
Oh, of course it is.
Yeah.
And to me, I think people just misunderstand other people's culture. And particularly, you know, this past month we have been talking about the Black culture because... It's also very.
Black History Month. Yep.
We just had Black History Month, and it's also a culture that's very silenced.
Silenced, erased.
And it's one of those things that their voices have not been heard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed this movie because it's a voice that was not heard.
Oh God, yeah.
Yes, and it's not even just that. It's a voice that even when heard is almost patronized. And yes. The movie did a really good job of being like, I don't think you understand just how important we are to you. You want to sit down for a second? You should sit down for this.
Well, I mean, we saw it even when Trump tried to find and, what's the word?
Can we just call him Cheeto Man? I don't want to hear his name anymore.
Okay.
Cheeto
so
Man.
When Cheeto Man tried to find and deport all of the illegal immigrants halfway through his term, and we saw the agriculture industry, so many industries, the entire economy suffered, and all of the heads of the industries were like, hey, whoa, listen, buddy. We all look the other way because we understand that they're an important part of our economy and they are an integral part of our economy. You can't just... what are you doing? And the Cheeto Man was like, ah, but I know best. Haha, I am the president. I am infinitely wise in all of my decision making. This is sarcasm, in case that doesn't come across. But... yes, Myra, please go.
So, in that thought, just fun little tidbit, which I think we forget, but we see it in every freaking election. Does not matter what side you're on, every election, one team goes, we're going to get rid of immigrants, and the other team goes, we're going to make it better. We're going to give them a way to integrate into our culture so that they're here legally.
Integrate.
There we go.
And you know what? Neither side ever holds up their fucking bargain.
Actually, Bush did a pretty good job.
After going a hard left.
He was... The only reason he got reelected, besides 9/11 happening, is because he pushed for the Hispanic vote by saying he was going to help. He did help. It was not the best...
Okay. He did that in light of extreme Islamophobia, though.
Yes.
There was so much xenophobia surrounding all of the Middle East.
Oh, I'm not saying it was right.
It was... Oh,
oh no, it was not right.
I mean...
The hatred... he had...
I was little at that point. But even still, kids can sense things. Kids notice things. Anybody who says otherwise, you're wrong.
Yeah.
There was a distinct tonal shift in civil conversation, I guess is a way to phrase it.
But I think it's been happening as the years go by, because certain things that we saw as appropriate in the early 2000s, now we're like, ooh, what the heck were we thinking?
Yeah, we are acknowledging the mistakes of...
And I think we're...
Gen X.
Yeah. But I think every president has made a promise. Even Obama, Bush, Clinton, every president has made a promise, and there's no way to fix it all. Because as quickly as we're trying to help people, again, people are not just coming from Mexico. People are coming from Ghana. People are coming from anywhere in Africa. I mean, I can tell you my next door neighbors are from South Africa. Mm. And they're like, we don't fuck with South Africa.
Mm.
You know, I find it funny because when we first moved in, our other neighbors, you've met our Bostonian neighbors.
They're a riot.
But they're like, well, the Mexicans moved in and then the Africans moved in. We're just all great here. And trust me, it sounds horrible, but we have the greatest relationship with these people. They are so sweet. We love them. They are like family.
They're one of the people who have the right intentions. They just don't have the right language.
Yeah.
To verbalize it.
Yeah. And it's interesting because when we first moved in, we were very much that Hispanic family that... I'm not the best at saying this, but we were that Hispanic family that threw parties and had the banda going until 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning.
Oof.
Yeah, we were them. Oof. And, you know, my dad actually talked to our neighbors from South Africa, and they're like, dude, it's fine. It's so much worse in South Africa. You're good. We sleep through that, okay? And we're like, shit. So, we were talking about the presidents.
Oh, yes.
So, I think this movie does a good way of sort of showing, especially at the time that it came out, because the political climate, you're right, it was everybody against, not just, it was very highly against immigrants because it came out that the terrorists came here illegally,
mm-hmm.
But no one wanted to mention that they came here illegally from Canada. Everybody focused south of the border.
Mm-hmm.
Not north. Mm-hmm. Obviously, so there was this whole fear of Islamic people, and then there was the fear of immigrants, because all these illegal immigrants are coming in to destroy our country. So I think the fact that they remade this movie from that original...
Short,
to show how this political climate could seriously affect the economy. Because the film does this great, great way of introducing you to everybody in the film. And I know you hated that fucking cup, but we'll talk about the cup.
What cup?
The water drip cup.
Oh, that cup.
The entire time watching that movie, you were like, watch the cup, it's going to be so important. And I was like, okay, so far it's just showing the pacing of time in a weird way.
It was!
And that's all it did! That was its whole purpose, to show a weird pacing of time!
I thought it was going to do some, like, magic shit.
Deadass same. I was like, oh,
but
shit.
It was more of, it's the pacing of time, but you see the tomatoes in the background rotting, and the fact that finally you have someone...
Deadass, I did not even pay attention to the tomatoes rotting in the background because you were like, watch the cup.
Not just that, the shot, the angle that they chose, and I'm not going to be negative for long, I promise. The shot they chose didn't show that well, so I also didn't notice.
No, that's fair. It was not the best. I'm not gonna... So, I love the concept of this movie.
Yes.
This movie has a great concept because, like we said earlier, you can do this with any culture. And they even touch that in the movie. Because he goes, there was a scientist that he named it the L factor, which is your Latino factor.
I forgot about him, the fucking weird Japanese scientist for no good goddamn reason.
Exactly. So he was talking about the fact that whatever made us... Damn it, mother. Hello? Well, we're halfway through the discussion, mother. Can you wait like another 30 minutes and then I'll bring him down? Thank you.
I love that you speak to your mom about the dog like some old Victorian family.
He's sleepy.
I know, it's just really funny.
But, you know, he was talking about the fact that who was next? Was it going to be the black community? Was it going to be the Asian community? Was it going to be... And how this affects the economy. And nobody really... I don't think people really, to this day, still don't take that into consideration. That doesn't matter what culture you come from, you affect the people around you.
Mm-hmm.
In different ways. Obviously... In this film, they made it sound like Hispanics were a lot higher in population, which probably at the time they were, because we got to think this is 2000 and in California, which is a higher population of Hispanics, not just because people are coming there illegally.
That's just before the American dream started to shatter.
Yeah, and we can't forget either that California used to be Mexico. So there's going to be Mexicans that were there before California was California.
A lot more of the United States used to be Mexico than I thought.
Oh, yeah. Texas used to be Mexico, and Arizona, New Mexico, Nevada.
That one's just ironic.
That one is just ironic. Nevada, Colorado.
Connecticut.
I didn't realize that freaking Colorado used to be part of Mexico. I was like, damn.
No, most of the western United States used to be Mexico.
Didn't we get it in the Louisiana Purchase? Or is that a different thing?
That's a different thing.
I failed history many times.
Geography.
I also failed history. I passed world history with flying colors, but this country is very boring.
That's technically U.S. history. The Louisiana Purchase and the Purchase of... So, back to the movie.
Okay, we are back from our tangent. Hello.
So, I think this movie does a really good way of showing how this missing a whole part of a culture can seriously affect an economy. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're first introduced to the farmer who I confused for, fucking, what's his face?
Willie Nelson.
I'm sorry, but he always reminds me of Willie Nelson. You see him at the end getting that pot out, and I'm like, yep, see, that's why he reminds me of Willie Nelson.
Yep.
Oh my god.
I mean, obviously it's not Willie Nelson, but he's a country singer.
That's why.
Country rock?
He's like a country rock.
You said the word country, and my brain went, understood.
No.
It's fine. It's fine.
See, now I have to Google. Continue.
She has to Google Willie Nelson now to prove me wrong.
I know, because she has no impulse control and has to prove me wrong.
Always. Does he not look like Willie Nelson, though?
Not really. That man is wrinkled.
That's an old... That's
he
a
crispy.
New, he, that's a newer picture. Look Willie Nelson in 1990s. Look up Willie Nelson in the
1990s. I'm looking for his genre.
Oh.
I don't care what his genre is. I've never
but
heard him
Sam
before.
Sam does.
I know.
He's country. He's technically country.
That's country. Those songs are country.
Okay, thank you. Back to the podcast.
You forget that I'm one of the few of us that actually likes country music in this room.
And I'm so sorry for you.
I start my new job in the morning. Can we hurry up, please? I'm cool with vibing and talking to you guys, but I kind of want this part to be over.
Willie Nelson. Just saying. That guy looked like Willie Nelson. But you meet this farmer who is very much a pro person that wants to keep Hispanics in. He's not against Hispanics. He has a farm. He's like, they help the land. They grow the land. I can't be mad at them for being here because I can't produce oranges if I don't have my people here.
He would literally be one of the people cussing out Trump.
Yeah. and then you have his son, who...
He's my brother.
Yeah. Who is absolutely against Hispanics. He thinks that they're ruining our country, even though they're making him money.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's running his dad's... He's taking the money from his dad. This is a spoiled rich white boy. Literally. He didn't make a cent of the money he has. His dad's company, his dad's farms literally made all the money he has.
Mm-hmm.
And you see how this family is literally being torn apart by their different opinions. Because the dad's hurt that his son can't see his point of view.
Let's call it what it is. The family's being torn apart by his racism.
Well, yeah, the son's racism. Especially because you see a scene where the grandson is out in the field. And
It's California.
So they're outside. And all of a sudden, you see Jose.
Sneaky snake.
Jose, who is a Mexican man, with a gun, and he shoots. And the guy's like, oh my god, you're trying to kill my son. And he's like, no, your son was about to get bitten by a rattlesnake. Which, yes, that rattlesnake.
The fleshiest rattlesnake I have ever seen.
That rattlesnake was not a rattlesnake.
It had that wiggle, 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 wiggle.
That dollar store money.
This is the dollar store. How good can it be?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
And so you see him being, well, he could have killed my son. And the grandfather's like, he saved your son's life. And he didn't do it out of malice. He was there to help. If he wasn't here, your son would have been dead. Mm-hmm. And then, you see the senator who is, like, against illegal immigrants, but yet has an illegal immigrant working as his nanny.
Was she illegal, or was she just
Hispanic? She was technically legal, but it doesn't matter. There is, someone's legality in a country does not define their right to personhood.
Yeah.
And their right to living. So he was still trash.
He was trash.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Negative rights.
He was against Hispanics, but didn't mind having a Hispanic nanny.
Yeah. Basically, only the Hispanics that I like are okay here.
And yes. As long as they stay in their place.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. Well, not even, because she put the senator in his place. Which I sort of liked. But you see the senator, and then...
Side note, the mom and that nanny had... big lesbian vibes.
Oh, yes, they did. I'm not taking that away from them. They were together. They were a couple. And then...
I mean, the shambles of that marriage.
And then you had our last, like, major plot line in the story, which is a school teacher who's married to a Hispanic man. She's a white woman married to a Hispanic man. And she's, again, he's just a musician. Mm-hmm. It's nothing major he doesn't have, but you see that there's people that can accept the culture.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go into when they start disappearing. Which, honestly, I thought that was the funniest shit ever.
Oh my god.
When they disappear.
The way they start disappearing is absolutely hysterical.
Can we talk real quick about the rapture?
Oh yeah, this is the rapture allegory right
because
now.
Because that lady's sister, I have relatives like her.
The rapture.
Oh my god!
Okay, for those who haven't seen the film, basically we got Crazy Christian going, we need to pray for our souls so that we too may be taken the rapture.
Here's the thing. I know one thing and one thing only about religion, and I think I might have said this before and I got stuff super wrong, but this time I'm not joking. I was forced to read an entire series about the rapture and the do's and don'ts about it and all the bad stuff that happens afterwards. This is the one thing I know about religion, and it's the fucking rapture. Okay? If you were not taken up at the beginning, you're not going up. So I don't see why she's like, oh, we have to pray now. It's too late, bitch. You did something wrong. You already didn't pray enough.
She didn't have the L factor.
Well, yes, but like in her mind, the rapture was happening. But the rapture is instantaneous.
But this wasn't even instantaneous, because you saw some Hispanics still there when everybody woke up and they were missing.
Yeah, it was like delayed factor.
Right, rapture. But like in her mind, it was the rapture. That's what I'm saying. Like to her, this was the bona fide rapture. And... girl, if you were right, it's too late. You might as well start stocking up on some shit to survive.
They got those rapture kits.
Wasn't she in the middle of calling for a survival kit, too?
Deadass, like, why are you even still feeding into this if you already fucked up and aren't going to heaven? Why do you still care?
But yeah.
I'm done. I'm sorry.
No, it was a very, I thought it was hilarious how they did all the disappearance, because you yes. have Jose, who, you know, saved the kid. He goes on the tractor and all of a sudden vanished. And you have the guy in the bear suit.
That bear suit, I wanted to burn.
It was hilarious. He was dancing so funny. And then all of a sudden you see, bleh.
I loved how as they kept disappearing, they kept replacing the actors with different actors. And they were just, they would say in the like subtitles, like, due to the erasure, we couldn't get actual Mexicans to play these parts. So now there's just white people pretending to be Mexicans. And they didn't do like brown face or anything. They were just like standing in instead.
Or they got like there was this, the Arab actor.
I think that was just in the short.
Was that in the short?
No, that was in the movie too.
Oh, fuck yeah. They got this random Arab dude to just be like.
It was the same Arab dude too that they had from the short to the movie. And he's like, I'm not Mexican. I'm here, aren't I?
He's not wrong. He's right.
He's so angry.
And he's like, I'm from, I think he said he's from Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I'm from Israel. Hello? Beach. Get your countries right. We're not even in the same continent.
Yeah. And then, oh, well, there was something I wanted to talk about. The,
you want to go into
Border Patrol?
Oh, God, yeah.
Can we talk about the Border Patrol real fast?
Border Patrol. The Border Patrol.
The fact that they continue to have Border Patrol even though the country, the state is effectively cut off from all.
Okay. You say that, but during the pandemic, when basically no one was outside, most of the police departments still got, like, 80% of city budgets. So, like, they would totally do that.
I'm just saying.
They would totally have those dudes sitting on their asses being like, we're just waiting for the border to come back.
Not just that, I think we forget that the Border Patrol is not just there to catch illegal immigrants, but they also are there to make sure everything is.
But in the movie, they were there.
Oh, in the movie, they were definitely there just to catch illegal immigrants. And they. The white guy.
the white guy.
The bald white guy.
Yep.
Oh, he's a stereotype for all of the worst kinds of.
The white worst men. Kinds of white cops. Not even just like. The worst kinds of white cops, because you guys know my mom's a cop, so I'm not against the police, but there are some bad ones out there, and he was the stereotype for those bad ones.
Mm-hmm.
And you had the black cop who was the stereotype for the good guys that just don't know what the fuck.
Well, I would say that the white cops would stand for more like malicious incompetence, and the black cop was just standard incompetence.
Yeah.
Incompetence light.
Incompetence yeah. light.
And you had this. It was interesting because they. I like how at one minute they were like, please get out of our country. And then when they all disappeared, please come in. Please come in. We need you to come in. Please come.
Those poor dudes that were taking a piss at the border, they like charged them at the end of the movie. And these dudes have this look on their face like, we are going to die in this moment.
No, they have the look of, we're going to die. And then they say in Spanish, dude, this is the best country ever.
Oh my God. And the fact that like the white cop was like, nothing's more gay than taking a piss with a man.
As he watches two dudes take a piss through binoculars. There is one thing more gay than the thing you just referenced, my dude, and it's what you're fucking doing right now. Oh my God. I died. I died.
And this movie is just, it's hysterical in the way that it makes you look at life in a little different way.
Mm-hmm.
The music, y'all.
The cinematography.
No. We're not talking about the cinematography just yet.
Okay. Let her say your thing about the music, and then we will dogpile this shit.
Sure.
I loved and hated the music.
Okay.
Because the Jose is Missing song. The Jose is Missing song. Where is Jose? Where did Jose go? Please bring back Jose.
It's
It's so all in funny. Spanish. It's so funny. But the whole time you're like, where is Jose?
Oh my god.
I feel for Jose.
I wish also, we made a drinking game out of that movie.
Okay, we can do that for the TikTok.
No!
There is one thing that this movie... I lost it. Go around me. I don't know where it is. It's gone.
I was just going to say, this movie excels in making political points
funny.
Hysterical. The movie takes itself not even a little bit seriously, and it helps the movie excel.
It felt very much like peak South Park. Toned down.
Toned down in... I mean, I guess
in
you
a
could,
good way,
yeah.
too.
Yeah, in a good way.
Although, I gotta admit, I love the fact that they had all these different scientists on the sides.
Oh my god, the scientists.
The UFO guy?
The UFO guy had so many rights, it's not even fucking funny.
Bro, they compared the sombrero to the UFO.
That was our hint for last week, if you were paying attention.
Did you pay attention?
And then, not just the UFO guy, the freaking Japanese doctor.
I hated him.
He was horrible. But
I wanted
he was
to punch
hilarious.
Him in the face.
And my other one was the, I think
also,
he was Middle
why
Eastern.
Why the fuck was he Japanese?
The Middle Eastern professor?
Uh-huh.
Who was just throwing facts at you.
He was there
yes.
to throw facts and just throw shade. That's it.
He was like, hi, I'm here to educate you fuckers, and I don't care what they're doing outside of this room. I'm educating you right now. And he did not... disappoint.
The fact that they only had, like, one angle for him, and then they had, like, that second angle just for, like, one shot.
Oh, yeah.
And then they went back to this with the old school screensaver.
Although, I gotta admit, I really enjoyed the fact that they used the same guy saying the facts from the short to the film.
Oh, god, yeah. That was a great choice.
I really liked...
Honestly, a lot of their casting decisions from one to the other were all really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, they kept a lot of the same cast, or as much as the same cast, I would imagine, that could return did.
Yes.
Yeah.
As far as the film goes, I really like how they brought... You know, we talked about the fact that there's the girl who is... Everybody thinks is Hispanic, and then you find out she's Romanian.
What do they call her? The last...
They call her the last Mexican.
The last Mexican. She's the they call her the mother of the new race.
Yeah, that was disgusting.
That was gross.
That was gross.
It gave me flashbacks to Futurama, that one episode. Myra knows, that's all I needed.
Ew. Zap Grant Brannigan can go to hell.
Zap Brannigan is in hell.
But besides that, I like the fact that, you know, you find all this out about her, that she's Romanian, mm-hmm. and the instant she finds out, she's like, it doesn't matter. I was raised Hispanic. I was, mm-hmm. my parents are Hispanic. I know how to speak the language. I had, you know, the Hispanic culture major events in life that you need to have.
For sure.
And... after she says all of that, she disappears.
Which is a great, you know, allegory for, even though she's not ethnically.
It very much so had the kind of vibe of, like, an adopted child.
Mm-hmm.
Just because
That's
you might not
was.
Be blood. Exactly. Just because you might not be blood does not mean you're not family. Mm-hmm. And just because you don't have the same genetics doesn't mean you,
you're different.
Doesn't mean you didn't grow up the same.
Yep.
But the speech.
The speech she gives. Was emotional. And the whole talking about the enchiladas. That's where she got me.
She was.
Yeah, she goes, I ate enchiladas. I was like, where the fuck did that come from?
I guess she was very proud of it. I don't know.
She loves those enchiladas.
Dude.
I'm not. Hating on that whole
enchilada.
But it some of the acting choices in that film, and I see you sticking your tongue out.
That acting choices, film choices.
Can I please
let's talk about the cinematography.
No, can I please?
Oh, go ahead.
I'll be fast, I promise. I have one complaint, and I have one complaint only. Makeup. That bruise on her fucking face every single shot, every single time it was different. Every single time they had a costume change, it was different. She got up out of the bed one time, it was like, oh, just a small scrape, just a little baby scrape. Ooh. And then 2 minutes later, it's back to being a massive bruise. She's hospitalized again. I have news for whoever was on that makeup team. One bruise does not equate to a car accident. Did you really only have time to apply one shitty bruise on that poor bitch for the whole movie? You had 1 minute.
That kept changing.
You couldn't put any other prosthetics on there. Granted, I'm assuming Spirit Halloween shit was very low quality back in the day. But you couldn't put a single prosthetic on her aside from that one bitch-ass scar.
Yeah, for context, the main character...
No, what's the scar?
The main character gets into a total car wreck. Because she's a reporter, she's reporting on the fact that all of the Latina and Latino people are disappearing, and they're like, oh no, did she disappear? Because she's supposed to be, you know, Latina. She just gets into a car, she totals her car, wakes up in the hospital. The scratch and bruise she has on her face is so minor looking.
It's literally inconsistent. That I don't even...
Especially the way the car got hit.
Because of their budget and the size of their film, I'm willing to excuse away the fact that it was just one scratch, okay? But at the very least, be semi-consistent about it. Also, do you know how much time it takes to take a little bit of dark eyeshadow and just put some little bags under the eyes? You could have had her do it while you were applying the shitty scar! Dude. It would have looked fine!
They did. They made a little spritz
of fucking makeup sealant that you don't actually pat out. It would have looked like sweat. You would have been fine.
Mm-hmm.
They had some choices.
Okay, I'm done. That's my main complaint.
They had some choices. Honestly, my major complaint of this film is how they decided to bring everybody back.
Fair.
Because I get, like, the one with the grandpa that has the farm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Having the tear fall when he's actually changing his will to say that his son is completely out of it and he's leaving the land to Jose and his grandchild only.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To show that tear on his hand while he's doing that, it shows you the emotional connect he had to them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But everybody else with their tears, it did not feel genuine.
Yeah, for context, the way all of the Hispanics get brought back is people start crying because they realize how deeply missed and needed the Hispanic community is to California specifically. And some people, some of the characters that we follow through this mockumentary, you're like, okay, that's earned. Like, the teacher with the musician husband, she realizes, oh, you know, I do love my husband, kind of.
Because she cheated on him. She was making fucking lemonade. I forgot that. She was making fucking lemonade. That's when she got
when
the
life
tear.
Gives you lemons. And like we said, the off-brand Willie Nelson,
I thought those were genuine.
Earned. But everyone else is all like, the senator, who's all like, I just want my help back. I don't know how to work a laundry machine or make lunch or anything.
That dude got Endeavor status the second he treated those people like shit at the beginning of the movie. I don't care what the fuck he does. Yes, I'm up to date in the manga. I know. I don't care what he does. There is no redemption arc that could redeem him. He was still shit at the end.
He didn't deserve anything.
He didn't deserve her to come back.
No. I did not like how that happened. My one other complaint is, y'all, I know we were low budget, but couldn't you just give someone a bottle of whiskey? Why the fuck was everybody drinking milk?
That's fair. I forgot about that. Why was everyone...
Yeah, this guy is acting like he's drunk. The senator's acting...
Were they sponsored by Got Milk?
Well, I don't know. Maybe not, but maybe they weren't allowed to put alcohol on screen.
Okay, fair.
I don't know.
But if you're gonna make the senator look and act drunk with a bottle of a carton of fucking milk,
was it for the find Jose gag? Was that what? God damn it!
At least give him a White Russian. Shit.
Those are good. That's one alcoholic drink I'll drink.
You're like, of the two alcohols, I stand. This is one of them.
Actually, it's neither, because it's made with vodka, technically.
Yep.
I said alcohols.
Yeah, that's not one of the two alcohols I usually drink.
Yeah.
Wine or gin.
That's right.
It is an outlier. That's the only reason I said that. It's an outlier.
Yes, that is correct.
So for me, those were my complaints. I thought the movie was obviously not the best because cinematography-wise, this film is every fucking where. Like, y'all, where were these fucking angles coming from? And why were you doing it like that? Like, that's peak 90s awful cinematography.
Honestly, yeah, they have no other excuse.
I will acknowledge the fact that I think they just embraced that they were going to be like a CD list film and just ran with it.
And, you know, there were some scenes that they really did try to do some interesting stuff. I don't remember exactly off the top of my head, but I remember when we were watching it, I commented, I see what they were trying to do there.
Yeah, there were some scenes that they tried, obviously for their limited budget.
I'm so sorry. The news scene. They were trying to do a B and C camera roll over a monologue.
Yes.
And I know what they were going for, but I don't think the technology or what they had
the
editing software they had at the time.
Mm.
Windows Movie Maker used to be cutting edge.
That's right.
With all of that in mind, I know what they were going for, but the times were not kind to them.
No, the times were not kind to them. I do gotta admit, I enjoyed the fact that they used an A-lister soap opera actor.
Oh.
Which is the musician.
He felt like it. Now that you say that, I'm like, oh yeah, 100%.
He was a soap opera actor.
With that hair and the...
The fact that they used a, you know, A-lister...
I mean that hair.
Soap opera actor. It's really sad that he did die shortly after filming the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they. I do like the fact that they put. Oh yeah, they put in memory of him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I appreciate that they did do that. But the film had so many not rights. In film wise, as how they filmed it, I think they could. For the times, it wasn't bad, but they could have done better.
Yeah, if you treat it like a serious film, this movie did not age well at all.
No.
If you treat it like a political satire,
mm-hmm.
Aged like good moonshine.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I would say yes, I agree with that. I think...
Not a fine wine, just decent moonshine.
I think it definitely has its moments for what they were given.
And the little tidbits draw, like... Those little tidbits honestly make the film.
Yeah.
The fact that they're giving you actual data, actual information throughout the entire film... made that film. It made you feel like you were honestly learning something new that you did not know.
Yeah.
It's true. I mean, we were learning about the fact, you know, there was a scene where they're like, oh no, Hispanics don't help the agriculture. And then they're talking about how 80% of the agriculture is picked by Hispanics. And then they went in even further and told you that, I think it said like 60% of our produce comes from California.
That mm-hmm. and how agriculture is California's main export, I guess, to the States.
Yeah.
It's their main industry.
Yes.
Not Hollywood.
Yeah. Which was, I, you know, thinking about it as far as we in the U.S., we make such a big deal of the fact that you're going to L.A. for the to see Hollywood, yep. and that's not really the big thing. I mean, like I told you guys, I'm from California, and the area where I'm from, I'm not even going to tell you the city because you have no fucking clue where it is. It's between San Francisco and San Diego. Mm-hmm. If you're from California, you know. I'll just say the city. It's the town I'm from is Livingston. Mm-hmm. If you are from the area, you probably know more of what is it called? Not Merced, fucking, but Modesto. I'm near Modesto.
Modesto. Yeah.
Most people know Modesto. I'm from a small town of Livingston. Okay. But our major arm in that town, it's literally surrounded by orchards of peaches and pecans.
I mean, hell, even when I went
and
to...
And onions. It's fucking gross.
Yeah, even when I went to California for my brother's wedding. No, onions smell gross.
Dude, try onions dry... are delicious and amazing to smell. I will fight both.
No.
I've been in an onion grove before. Don't fight me.
Oh.
Okay, if you're coming into the town, the first thing you smell, it's not the sweet onion. It's the yellow onion.
Yeah, yellow onions smell nasty.
The yellow onion, I personally cannot... In that amount, I cannot smell.
I also have very bad connotations with the Valdelia onion grove because the hotel we used to stay at to visit my grandparents because they didn't want us staying in their home.
Wait, is this bad grandma?
Yeah.
Oh.
It was right next to an onion processing plant.
My dad used to work at the chicken plant over there.
But anyway, even in the brief time I was over in California, the agriculture was so prevalent.
Am I the only one of us bitches who have never been to California?
Apparently.
I mean, the first time I went was
for your brother's wedding, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I was born there, so I can't really...
Mm-hmm.
So, the agriculture in California is huge.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this film has... negatives and positives. I can't say that it's the best or the worst movie ever. I've seen worse.
I mean, political satires will do that. They're especially older ones. I mean, for what it is, I would say it's aged fairly well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And with that being said, do we want to bring the court in session? The court is in session. So...
there's no fandom.
Oh, no, this movie.
We're just skipping it. There's nothing.
There's... literally, when I went to go look for this movie, they're like, wait, there's a day without a Mexican? I was like, shit.
I mean, technically, if you want to be really specific, there are a bunch of people on a lot of social medias who are still kind of talking about the things it brought up.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But some of it, I don't know if they know the movie, and they just saw the tag and just clicked it, and it's the same topic.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people... there are people who have seen the movie that are like, okay. I've seen several articles that were like CNN, and I think there was a Highland one, and
me the link, and I'll post it to our socials.
Mm-hmm.
So there's definitely articles out there that reference the movie who do talk about what, you know, the political satire, the political... feeling of the movie, but it's not necessarily fandom, I would say.
Yeah, no.
No.
If I ever saw a cosplay for this movie, I don't think I would get it. Maybe if it was the scientist.
Or the bad scar?
No. I said maybe if it was the scientist, and I fucking meant it.
The Japanese one?
No. The crazy one.
Oh, cool.
The one that had rights.
The UFO guy?
Yeah.
UFO guy.
Scientist.
Yes, he was a scientist. I do love the end, though, when they did the shorts, and you had the fucking scientist and the Japanese guy sitting together talking about their shit with their beaker and their...
and their shot glass.
Their shot glass.
Or milk, was it? I don't know. It was great.
It was great.
All right.
But,
want to barrel straight through into final thoughts, then?
Yeah, final thoughts. I say... go watch the movie. It gives you a good perspective of life in a different point of view. definitely would not say it's my favorite movie, but it's good for good laughs and good to see a different point of view. So I would say go see the movie at least once. You gotta give it a try at least once.
This could be an excellent drinking game. That's all I'm gonna say.
Yeah.
I had a wild ride sober.
Oh my god, can you imagine watching this fucking movie drunk?
That's what I'm saying, guys.
Don't look at me.
Y'all spending the
night.
I'm
just kidding, I would try.
When my parents are in Cancun, you guys are coming over to spend the night.
Cancun?
Yeah, they're going to Cancun.
When?
I don't know. Yeah. My dad wants to go for his birthday. Which
is
next
week. In
the middle
of a panorama?
Which is next week.
In the middle of a paparazzi?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's...
In the middle of a Pamela Anderson?
He's been...
I mean, most of y'all have the vaccine, so I guess it's not dangerous for you.
He's also been in this whole... He didn't get to have his vacation last year, so he wants to get away. Mm. I can't really blame him, but...
I mean, I've never really had a vacation.
Y'all, neither... yes, I have. Shut up, Mara.
My very first for me vacation was going to be that cruise that I was supposed to go on, and it got canceled. Mm. Not that I'm mad that it was canceled because of I'm out of P words. Not that I'm mad that it was canceled because of the thing, but like, really?
Yeah. In the middle of a principality?
Yeah, the 1 year I do something for me, you have words?
We'll do it with you. I think that'll be more fun.
I didn't want to go with the people I was going with, Loki.
So, yes, you were saying,
Sam.
Drinking game.
Drinking game. I inherited a good love of satires from my brother. Not good fun, but fun nonetheless.
So, is it yes or no?
Yes. Thank you. I'm sorry.
You're good.
Brain was like,
what more
what
words?
What
words?
Are new? Who holiday who?
Who more words?
Jay. Right.
I would give this one a yes if you are bored and would like to laugh very hard at some stuff that some people probably worked really hard on. Personally, even though I do not drink, I don't know how safe this is. I would take a shot every time the scar on the bitch's face looks different. You might get alcohol poisoning.
Yeah.
I'm not... Listen, it might be safer to play the My Immortal drinking game. Who the fuck knows?
What? Wait.
We can look into it.
Okay.
But all I'm saying...
The last Airbender drinking game was dangerous.
Okay, no, the My Immortal drinking game, no one's finished past Chapter 6. Alive.
Did people die?
I mean, not really, but like, to a certain point, you will get alcohol poisoning and have to stop. Anyway, it would be a really fun drinking game. Personally, I don't drink, but I think it would be really fun to try out. With friends. In a safe space. Where you have rights. Aside from that, I mean, for me, the biggest takeaway was the facts that this thing dropped. It's a lot of really good comedy while also being, like, really blunt in the way that, like, we actually function in the world outside of the comedy setting. And again, I really like that kind of stuff. So personally, I would say, if I did that line one more time, I'll kill someone. I would say that it is worth a watch. Is it my favorite movie? No. Would I watch it again? I mean, probably. It was kind of funny. But would I like bother my dad about it for a couple of weeks to get it from Netflix? No.
No. Don't look at me. I didn't bother him for a couple days. I just snuck onto the account and took it.
I'm teasing.
And my then point, he got mad at it.
My point is, I would not actively seek this thing out, but if someone was like, I found this in a bargain bin, I would be like, shit, bitch, put that in. Let's go.
You know I went to look for it in the bargain bin at Walmart? Because my dad was like, oh, I saw it in the bargain bin at Walmart. And I was like, I want it.
Maybe in the 90s? Not literally. I don't know how to do math. Maybe like a decade ago.
Yeah, that's no, better. I went to Walmart to look for it, just in case it was in the bargain bin. It was not.
I mean, I did go to Walmart once, and I saw the Drake Bell and Josh Peck video game for GameCube, so what the fuck do I know?
I mean, that's fair.
So, within the past 5 years.
Oh.
It was $3.
So you. With that being said,
bless you.
The court, yeses all around.
Yeses all around.
Yeses all around. All right.
Three.
And varying enthusiasm. Without further ado,
I forgot the sign off.
We've had our snacks.
We've had our snacks.
We've said our facts.
We've told you if you should watch that.
See you next week.
Is that the self-destruct sequence?
Give the kid a prize. That's at least one thing you got right today.
Kid, come on, we gotta go! Just one sec!
There is no power without suffering, and a great many have suffered for this power. Whoa!
Forget about the scroll!